By God's help, we're going to try to talk tonight about minuses and pluses. And would you join us as we ask God to bless us? We need him. Great and almighty God, thank you that you are a caring, faithful God. Would you please bless us here in the minutes ahead? May the Holy Spirit reveal and bless and encourage and help each one of us as we're judgment travelers, needing divine blessings to continue on serving you. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll bless even the children, that they will be able to get something that would be good to their little hearts and minds tonight. And may the Holy Spirit anoint and bless. We ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Life is a mix of minuses and pluses. There could be conditions in life that could be considered minuses. To be born in poverty and be denied the ability to have what could be considered the necessary things of life, to not have money enough to pay for electricity or water, or I believe I heard about over in Haiti that they ate mud. Doesn't look like that's too good for a person's digestive system, but to be born in poverty with a lack of cash flow could be considered a minus in an individual's life. I had occasion recently to be in an area in Los Angeles, California, where the homeless congregated. And brother, sister, it was quite a sight. I don't know how many were out there homeless. No roof over their head to go to at night. So poverty and being poor could be considered a definite minus. To be a senior citizen, old age, where your eyesight becomes dim, your hearing is impaired, your body doesn't have the strength to be able to do what it did in the past. So being a senior citizen could be considered a minus. I'm a senior citizen. And there's some pluses about it. I'm able to get discounts in motels. And airplane travel. And so not everything about being a senior citizen is a minus. To be born blind or to be blind at an early age, have you ever thought of all the things that a blind child would be robbed of in being able to see? I was in Canada last year, and the tulips were, it was tulip time. Wasn't at the peak of it, but there was still some. And oh, the beautiful color of those tulips. The beautiful sunsets. And I've seen some of those that are very, very nice. A double rainbow. The face of a loved one. But there was one lady She wasn't born blind, but at an early age, she was blinded. But she was able to have an inner vision that she said, "This is my story. This is my song." Not complaining all the day long because I'm blind, but praising my Savior all the day long. And to let you have some insight on her spiritual insight, she was able to say, "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love." So even though she was blind and there was a doctor, if it wasn't the total cause of her blindness, he contributed to her blindness. He felt so bad after this happened to Fanny Crosby that he left the area. But Fanny Crosby said if she could see him, she would thank him. A beautiful plus, perhaps she felt, rather than a minus. And how great and wonderful her songs have been to inspire down through the years of time. She was gifted with a wonderful talent of songwriting. One of the songs that is touching is, "Savior more than love to me, I am clinging, clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood apply, keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power and thy tender love. Bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee." And by her being blind, perhaps she had been led by someone with sight that had not always had proper judgment. I was watching somebody with Sister Carver. Sister, the second Sister Carver was blind, and they didn't judge right, or some way they led her into a bench. Maybe Fanny Crosby had some people that wasn't so gentle in leading her, and maybe she had some kind of mishaps too. This sister that was leading Sister Carver wasn't intentionally misjudging. But Fanny wrote the second verse. "Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. And a blind woman with the desire of her heart was, let me love Thee more and more, till this fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter world above. Every day, every let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. I read a story about a man that was in a shipwreck, and he was washed up on an island, and he asked for God's help, and he would look out to see if there was some help coming. Finally, he was able to build him a hut. And one day after coming back, after looking for food, the hut was on fire. And the smoke was going up skyward. He was stunned with grief. But the next day, there was a ship come to rescue him. And he asked, how did they know he was there? The smoke from the hut sent the signal that rescued him. What looked like a minus turned out to be the plus that he was rescued. Joseph had what looked like some real minuses, didn't he? His father's favorite. His father didn't make it a secret. It was open that his other sons could observe that Joseph was the favorite. And it caused some very hard feelings. All the other brothers had the same father, but some of them had a different mother. And so there was bad feeling. The brothers were in one location, and the father sent Joseph on an errand to check out the brothers, how they were getting along. In Genesis, it tells about the reception he got when he spotted his brothers, and they were able to see who it was, Joseph. And they didn't go out and say, we're so glad that you're here. How's Dad and the things at home? And try to catch up on what had happened while they were away. But they seized him, took that coat that his father had special for him, and put Joseph in a pit. Some of the brethren wanted to eliminate him by taking his life. But as it turned out, and you who know the story, there were some people that come through and they sold him and got some money off of the sale. He was taken over and sold again in a land that was different than his homeland. And the man that bought him was so impressed by him that he made him an overseer of his household. If the roof leaked, it was Joseph's job to see that it was repaired. He was over this man's business and his household. In some reason, the master was gone out of town or some wasn't at home, and his wife had bad intentions towards Joseph. And he fled, but she got his coat. Do you ever think about Joseph lost two coats? The one his brother stripped from him, took from him, never wore it again. They dipped it in blood. And the second coat he lost, the woman got a hold of it. Lied on him, and he was put in prison. Looked like a big minus, wouldn't it? But you know what? Even in the prison, God blessed him. He was able to interpret a dream. Was it the butler and the baker? And they were released. And it happened that the Pharaoh had a dream and no one could interpret it. And the man that had his dream interpreted by Joseph, that turned out to be reality, remembered him. And Joseph was taken out of a dungeon. In Genesis, the 41st chapter, 14th verse. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. So now he's out of the dungeon, and he's standing before the Pharaoh, the top man in the country, and he's able to interpret the dream that Pharaoh had, and Pharaoh was able to discern something in Joseph that he desired that he be placed in a position that only he was to be a level above him. So Joseph went from a dungeon, and it was probably a very distasteful place to have been. Sanitary conditions probably not like they are in the prisons of today. I was in a prison, not myself, but visit. Well, this person was going to visit that she had known in the past. And they were going to have a dance that night. Well, these dungeons was not a place where they had all of the amenities that they have in prison now. They probably didn't get three square meals and all the things that they have now in prisons. But at any rate, he went from the dungeon to the second highest government position in the land. From a minus to a plus. And who showed up but those brothers wanting food? Could Joseph have thought about That day they had me in the pit. They had food to eat and didn't ask me for it, to have any. I don't know what all run through Joseph's mind, but he responded with those brothers with food. He loved them dearly. He had a good attitude, which was a very, very great plus. Job had some minuses and pluses. He had pluses that he was, if not the richest man in the whole area, he was very wealthy. He had a number of assets. He had 10 children. He had a wife. He had honor and respect. And a lot of people would have probably liked to have been in his sandals. Pluses and pluses he had. But God allowed some minuses to come to his life. An avalanche of trouble. He was stripped of his assets. He was stripped of his children. There was a tornado that came and destroyed wherever the children were, and their lives were taken. I don't know if they ever recovered the bodies. But if they recovered all 10 of them, there were some fresh graves somewhere. Job was very tried and tested. And that wasn't the end of it. He was stricken with boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Wouldn't it be awful to try to walk on boils? Now, the enemy did this to him, and he started in his feet. Have you ever noticed when somebody is praying for someone for healing, they say from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet? God's blessings comes down, but the enemy strikes from beneath, doesn't he? So he was smoked with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. And they probably smelled when they would ooze that corruption. They probably smelled terrible to Mrs. Job. And the devil thought that he would curse God. Remember the story? He said, he'll curse you. It says in the fifth verse of the second chapter of Job, but put forth thy hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. I'm going to drop to the ninth. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. See, the devil had predicted that Job would curse him. And then the wife comes along with the suggestion, why don't you curse him? See how she was just playing into the hands of the enemy and suggesting what the devil said that he would do? But did he do it? Instead of her saying, honey, I believe in you and I believe that this is not going to last forever, hold your integrity with God. I'm behind you 100%. We'll get through this together. There'll be a brighter day. There's going to be a change come. She didn't do that, did she? That's what she should have did. But she didn't do that. She says, why don't you curse God and die? In other words, just curse him and go out and do away with yourself. But he didn't do it. And God was able to turn the thing around, wasn't he? And in the end, he had twice as much as he did before. He had 10 more children. Didn't say he had another wife. But he had more assets than he did at the start. So God took the minuses out and gave him pluses. Jesus had minuses and pluses in his life. Some of the pluses was that he was able just to stand up and tell water to behave, and it did. He was able to stop a funeral procession as a widow was on her way to the burial of her son. And life come back in that dead body. Blind eyes were healed. Deaf ears were opened. He had power. He had a lot of pluses. But God loved us enough that he allowed minuses to come to his beloved son. And he was treated in an inhumane way. I have an account here of something they did. It says during Jesus' trial and humiliation, we also know that a crown of thorns was platted and placed on his head. In Christ's case, this was done to mock him as being king of the Jews. Some of you know, or you have been to Israel and have seen these thorns. They are an inch and a half to 2 inches long. And they are as sharp as an ice pick. The custom was to take a small 3 or 4 foot long reed and slap the thorns on the top of the head of the victim in order to drive the thorns into the skull. Those thorns laid upon someone's head and then tapped down with a reed were hard enough to penetrate the outer table of the skull bone. Imagine the bleeding from 300 to 400 puncture wounds in the scalp and around the forehead from these thorns. So before Jesus' crucifixion even began, his face had been beaten to a pulp. And the scripture says his visage was marred. He didn't look like Jesus. His face had been beaten so vehemently that it was just, it didn't look like Jesus. No doubt his eyes were swollen shut. His nose is bloodied. And I remind you that every pore in his skin had wept and oozed blood. Remember it said it sweat is drops of blood. Every visible surface on the good Lord Jesus, I am confident, was covered and caked with dry blood. And his back and his arms, and the back of his legs were literally torn to shreds from the scourging. This was the shape Jesus was in before they gave him the cross to bear to Calvary. And in Matthew, it tells about him being on the cross, how he was there, and such an inhumane to treat another human being. They mocked him, and they made fun of him. Here he was, his arms stretched, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away from him. And while he was there on the cross, there was a thief on one side and a thief on the other. And one was very belligerent, very cruel. Blood coming from his head, from the beatings that he had had. You ever hear the song, "The Blood That Stained the Old Rugged Cross"? It was his blood that paid the awful cost. They had these crosses, and you can't just place a cross on a level piece of ground. You have to have something to put it in. And do you think those Roman soldiers said, "Let's take it easy with him"? No, they probably jerked that cross around and let it just drop into the ground, ripping and tearing his precious body. A minus, humiliated, in view of his enemies, they were glad. He was thirsty. They gave him some vinegar. Surely looked like a minus, wouldn't it? But you know, it was a great plus for us. When he said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last, took that last breath, the demonic powers of the devil that held sway was broke. What a plus. I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. He prayed that it would pass. The cup, if this had arsenic in it, would it be deadly? Would there be death in the cup? But he drank it. There was death in the cup. There was humiliation in the cup. Scorn, rejection, all of that was in the cup that was before Jesus, that wanted an alternate route, but was willing to drink it. And he died on a cross. What looked like a minus became a wonderful plus. And how many songs do you know about the cross? On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. the divine cross, where and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Though I'll cherish the old rugged road, he'll my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and its chariots someday for a crown. To the I will ever be true. Help us, Lord. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to a home far away where it's glory for so I'll cherish the old rugged till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. May God bless us. And for those who are people of God, children of God, minuses can work for your good and my good. I've got a scripture to back it up. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So minuses in your life, God can cause them to work for good. If you're going to make a cake and you just have flour and eggs, would that make a good cake? What would make it good? So if you have all of those ingredients, and my mother used to make a cake and she didn't use electric beater, she just took her hands and blended it together. It turned out good. All things, just the eggs and flour, you haven't got something good. But if you add the sugar, and maybe some vanilla, and work all that ingredients together, then you can have you a good cake. It says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The minuses, say the eggs and flowers in your life, flour, without the sugar and all the other. But if you have it all working together, He's promised to make it work for your good. So may God help us with those tough things and hard things in life, that we'll maintain our love for God in some way, somehow, that He can make something good come out of those minuses in our life. A real serious minus is sin. Those that have sin in their life, they have a big minus. And if that sin remains in the life, when that last breath is drawn, they'll have an eternity of minuses. Heaven's a holy place, filled with glory and with grace, and sin cannot enter there. Hatred, attitudes, unforgiveness, bitterness. Not going to get in heaven. Any sin, it won't make it. There'll be minus for all eternity. And folks, this life is the shortest part of our existence. And me, 73 years old, most of my life is over, see? I better not be making mistakes and failing. Too serious. Even faults in an individual's life is minuses. Having a short fuse, getting upset easy. Impatience. Faults. If you're satisfied with faults in your life, that's a minus in your life. Those faults need to be worked on. May God help us that when we come to our end, that we will have all pluses and no minuses. May God bless us tonight. Our Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts that have been given here tonight. May they serve to be somewhat of a blessing to young and old. You know the hearts and minds of everyone here present tonight. You know the minuses and the pluses. Help each one of us. We want to make heaven our home. We're serious about that. It's an urgent matter. To live in this world, the short time we are allotted here, to allow the minus of sin in our life, is a dreadful mistake. Help us, Lord, that we'll be able, either when death comes to us or you appear on that last great day, that we will not have any sin in our life at all. Heaven is a holy place. Help us to be holy, that we will fit right in there and be welcome. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.